write down a goal and figure out what you have to do to get there. And no, you don't have to have it all figured out. You will learn along the way, because everyone else that looks like they have it all figured out definitely does not.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
Not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up,
use their voice, and make an impact in this world.
You're listening to the Weekly Parody.
Hey there, welcome to today's episode. If this is your first time listening, my name is Heather Parody. I am your host. This show is for unconventional leaders. We want to really empower this next generation of self-starters who are building something from the ground up, and you're building it to make a difference in this world. You're building it because you want to impact the lives of other people. You are mission driven, you are fired up, you are excited, and man, you're sometimes starting from scratch, learning as you go. Those are my tribe, that's my people, and that's me, learning how to do this entrepreneurial thing, learning how to build something great. I'm so excited to connect you guys with Nikki Bondura and Tisha Albrea from For Her Sports. They are incredibly, incredibly kind and generous women who are out in California and working so, so hard to speak to women who are in the golf industry and just make a difference in their lives. They are using their platforms and their message, all their events, everything to pour into women golfers. They actually were a connection from Christina LaCure. We had her on the show a few episodes back. I'll link that in the show notes. Really powerful interview. But today what we're digging into is just this idea of influence and impact and how to use your voice to truly make a difference. Not to worry so much about numbers and popularity, but really dig into the core and the root of, hey, I want to make a difference. And whether that is 5 people or 5,000 people or 1 million people, they're all human beings. And we have to keep that as the center focus when we are stepping into leadership and when we're trying to make a difference in this world. These girls are so cool. They're so kind. And man, my favorite part of the interview was towards the end where they really dug into the heart and the root of this idea of influence and impact. So make sure that you hang on and listen to the end. There's some incredible truth bombs dropped there. But before we get started, if you have not subscribed to this podcast, look down at your phone. Look down at it. Hit that subscribe button so you do not miss another episode. And also, if you have been listening and this show has been helpful to you at all, would you do me one favor, just one, and share it with someone who you think would really benefit from it? We really want to impact as many people as we can this year, and we need your help to do it. And lastly, we're hosting free content marketing workshops, 30-day challenges, all around building consistent online content. If you are just starting off in this space, I'm so passionate about content marketing. It's just an incredible way to connect with people from all over the world and share your message. So if you are ready to connect with driven, very driven, impact-focused entrepreneurs, head over to Facebook and join our group by searching for Unconventional Leaders, or you can just click the link in the show notes. All right, guys, let's get into this incredible episode with the founders of For Her.
For Her is basically exactly what it says. This is a golf movement for her. So it's for the female within the golf industry. It's really targeted towards a male audience. And we just want to grow the game of golf. Tish and I are so passionate about the game of golf. And we realize, you know, the opportunities we've been given and the fun times that we've had because of golf. So we hope to inspire more women to pick up the game and also empower them to continue playing the game. It's a very intimidating sport for females. So we really just want to teach them how to play and encourage them to play and really build a community for women's golf.
Very cool. And how did you two connect? Because you are not living in the same city. You're doing it virtually, and this is a partnership. So tell me a little backstory there.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. We love this story. So Nick and I met. We met on a trip, an influencer trip to Arizona. And there was nine women that were invited. And we were kind of with the rising golf influencers at the time. This is, I think, May 2016, right around that time. It was spring 2016. And when we got into the trip, we all, I think, hit it off pretty easy with all the girls. But coincidence enough, and we love telling this story. So we were staying at an Airbnb, all nine of us, and I was trying to move this table that was like a concrete slab, and it wasn't connected to the legs of the table. And so as I was trying to move it, and I started to notice that it wasn't connected. So I tried to gently put the table down because it's not my place. I didn't want to break anything. And when I gently put the table down, it was completely disconnected, that it just crushed all my fingers. Mm. And so when it crushed all my fingers, I went to the restroom or to the kitchen, and someone told me to like run under cold or hot water or whatever it was. And when I ran it under the water, I remember looking over to kind of like the living room area, and Nick was one of the last people I saw, and our good friend, Kenzie, who was also on that trip, who was another golf influencer. And as I was running my hands under the water, I just knocked out. I like hit the floor. I just knocked out cold. And the first people that came to rescue me was Nikki and our friend Kenzie. And Nikki like brought me back to life somehow by feeding me tangerines and carrying me to the sofa. I don't know what happened, but like it actually really wasn't until that moment that we actually like sat beside one another and talked and conversated. Mm-hmm. And then soon after that trip, I coincidentally happened to be in her area. I was like, hey, I'm in NorCal. I'm in this place, this city. I think it might be near you. And she was like, you're legitimately 5 minutes away from me. And so I brought her coffee to her work. And then from then on, we just like hit it off, continued a friendship, shared the same goals, which was such a big thing. And mm-hmm. we really grew a lot together. And from the nine influencers, we led the previous movement. And it just kind of started cutting down to just me and Nick always talking and thinking like we could do so much more. We yeah. both share the same drive. We want to really impact women's golf. And then it just ended up being us two. And now here we are.
Yeah. I love that. I love backstories, and it's always funny how it seems as though it's always this little hiccup in our plans that always end up being like the basis of everything that we do. You know, you said something a minute ago, you wanted to make an impact in this industry, and everyone who's listening to this show is wanting to make an impact in their own industry. Now, bridging the gap between ideas and vision and actually taking those first steps as action, that's a whole nother ball game.
Yes.
And it's a very long road. It's a very, very long road. So yeah. when you guys are connecting over coffee and hanging out and sharing this vision, what were some of the first steps that you took to bring it to fruition?
Well, so we actually started off with a different company. So the group that brought us to the house in Arizona a couple years ago, we kind of tagged along with them, and we were like, look, we think that you guys are on the right track, but you can do better. And since Tish and I were super passionate about growing the game, we're like, let us be the faces, let us create the content, let us kind of lead this movement, you know, because we were so passionate about it. So that's how it originally started. And it was awesome. It really helped us build our brands. It helped us build our skills and everything that we, you know, it's been great, everything that we've learned throughout this process, but we still felt like we could do more. So that's why Tish and I took the leap of faith to leave the old organization and start our own. Because ultimately at the old organization, we are just creating content. We are just doing social media. And for us, we were like, what can we do to actually, you know, teach women how to golf, connect women to one another. What can we do to actually make that impact? So for us, it was really our leaving, you know, we had a couple conversations and we were on the same page and we're like, we just need to do this. So we ended up leaving and took that leap of faith. And I, you know, we're Googling how to start a business and trying to figure out how to start an LLC.
That's real.
Yeah. No clue what we were doing. Mm-hmm. It was a matter of us just wanting to make an impact and do something on our own and with the help of Google.
Yeah. Amen. Literally everything I know, I think, is from YouTube and Google. 100%.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's the beauty of it. So how did you know that you were ready? When you are getting this experience working with this other organization, you know you're meant for more. What was that line where you're like, okay, I'm ready to take this leap of faith?
I was just going to say, I think for me and Tish, we would just have these side conversations where we wanted to do more, and we probably could within the old organization, but not on our terms. And so it really was like just a gut feeling that we just had a voice a couple of times to really know that like we needed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So from there, where did y'all go and what are you doing now? So kind of bridge the gap between now and then.
Yeah. So it pretty much transitioned right away. I mean, the moment that we decided to leave the other organization, like we were already kind of planning behind the scenes towards the end of it, of like how we wanted to plan it. Like me and Nick had multiple phone calls saying like what our roles would be individually, who would we want on our team, like what are we going to do. And so literally right after we left, we just got working right away. And I think between the time we left and between our soft launch was, I don't know, maybe a month. We were just very determined to make it clear that Nick and I were starting something new, that it was ours, and that this is a movement that we're spearheading. Mm-hmm. And so, because in our old organization, it was kind of the same goals, but we didn't really feel like we attacked them the way we wanted to. We didn't feel like we were making a big enough impact. And so when we separated, we wanted to be sure and be clear that like, this is us. It's just Nick and I, we're doing the same movement, except we're going to make a change this time.
Yeah.
And so, and we're still in very, very beginning stages. We're still technically in our soft launch. There's quite a few big events coming our way. In a few weeks, actually, end of January, beginning of February, where me and Nick just kind of pick up and start up. And so that's when we're really going to go into a full launch.
Cool. So tell me your exact message and tell me how you guys are delivering it. Like, how are you spreading this message?
So for us, I mean, ultimately with our company, so for, we spell it F-O-R-E, which is a golf term, but also to us, it really holds a message that we want to make clear. And because each letter stands for a different word. So F is for fearless, because we had to be fearless to start our own company. O is optimistic, because as an entrepreneur, we feel like you have to always be positive. I mean, it's very hard to always be positive. There are times where Tish and I are like, are we even doing the right thing? You just have to remember to stay positive and know that the outcome is going to be good. Resilient, again, you just have to be resilient in what you're doing. And then empowering, because we want to empower all these other women to play golf and continue to play golf. And really are within that as well. Like when we create content and when we're, you know, selling, hopefully soon, our online courses and everything else and teaching women how to golf, we want to make sure that what we're providing is educational. So we're teaching women how to golf. It's inspirational. We're inspiring them to not just start playing golf, but continue to play golf, because that's the issue right now with the golf industry. A lot of women are picking up the game, but within the first year, they're quitting. And then also we want it to be entertaining. We want it to be fun. We want everyone to know how cool golf is, because I think a lot of times it has this image that it's, you know, not the coolest thing to do, but I feel like Tish and I know this. There's so many celebrities, athletes, and awesome people in the world that play golf, and it can be fun. Like, it doesn't have to just be a fuddy-duddy old white man sport. Like, it can be a fun sport where you go out with your girlfriends and have a couple drinks while you're on the golf course, or just go to the range with a few of your buddies and just like hit balls and hang out. So we're trying to connect the women together as well. And really it's like power in numbers, because for us growing up in the golf world, it was not always smooth sailing. You know, as a female in a male dominated industry, it was very much, we heard everything. So we want to make sure that they know they're not alone. And it kind of goes with everything. I think there's a whole, you know, women's movement right now. So this could not have been like more
better timing
for us. But yeah, we just really want to know, like, you're not alone. And like, there are other women in the area that want to play golf and learn to play golf with you. So, so that's kind of our message with what we're doing with For Her.
That's so cool. Now, you guys know a lot about just content creation and building a strong target audience, be able to communicate efficiently with them and becoming known as an influencer in your space. And I really want to dig into that, because I think that is something that can apply to every single person listening. That's the intention of everyone listening. But before we do that, I'm really curious if you guys could kind of give me the short backstory. And I know this is like, how in the world am I going to do this in a short way? why you personally, like back in the day, like what your very first experience with golf and why this is something you're super passionate about. If you can kind of just give me a 1 to 2 minute backstory, each of you, why this is so passionate, why you're so passionate about it. Cause I can see it on your faces when you talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think for me, I started, it's funny, my like starting golf story, because I hated it at first. When I was younger, I thought it was the worst sport ever. I thought it was daddy's sport with his friends. And it wasn't until I was about 12 or 13, I actually met a professional golfer, and her name is Natalie Gulfis. And it's really cool. I'll get to that later. But anyway, I could go off on a tangent real quick, but she, I met her, and it was the first time I realized, like, wow, like it was someone I could just identify with. Like, I was like, wow, cute girls, honestly, because before that it was, you know, like I said, a fuddy-duddy sport. It wasn't very cute. I was all into being girly and cute. And I realized, like, wow, there is a young girl, young, cute girl that plays golf. And I was able to identify myself with her because she was an only child. Like I was, we grew up in the same area. I really identified with everything about her. And in that moment, I decided I wanted to play golf. And so, you know, fast forward years later, it's why I created my blog, and then we've done everything. But what's cool is now I've been able to go back, and I actually just interviewed her for my podcast.
Oh, cool.
That was the coolest moment, because I don't think she realizes, because of her, I don't even know if I would be playing golf or even be here where I am today. So, and of course my dad was on cloud nine, because he's an avid golfer. He never pushed me into it, but once I got into it, he was like, all right, like, let's go. He was so, so excited. But now it's nice, cause it's something I can share with him. But yeah, it's just really cool, all the opportunities golf has presented for me. And I know for Tisha as well. And, it just connects people. And I think that's why I absolutely love it.
I love that. What about you, Tisha?
Yeah. So, I've been golfing all my life. I have been competing, or I started when I was 3, been competing since I was 7. I did the whole junior golf route to high school golf, to collegiate golf, to professional golf. I turned pro in 2015. I technically put the bag down just last year for 2018. I'm still technically professional, but I just don't compete anymore. That's not where my passion lies. And so golf has always been a very, very big part of my life. I don't even remember a day in the life of not golfing. Like it's a huge part of me. Like it is integrated into me. I don't know how else to live life. And I've always loved it. And so, like how I got all into social media was, initially when I turned pro, I was trying to find sponsorships and trying to find a means of connecting myself to a broader audience than just the people that I'm around and the golf club that I play at. And so I you know, started fishing into the social media, and I wanted to show off my golf swing. I wanted to show people that I could play. I wanted to show people I could do other stuff. And that's how that kind of led into one another. And I started getting reached out from brands saying like, oh, can you rock our stuff? And I was like, perfect. I need gear to go out there and play. Got golf clubs. Perfect. I need golf clubs to go out there and play. And it just started kind of growing all in all together. Mm-hmm. And through competitive golf, I have always watched myself, but also watched a lot of the other pros come and go. I watched them start, quit, love it, hate it, you know, just despise it or wish that they could do more, but they don't have much to work with. And so I think that's why it's perfect how Nick and I work together, because we share such a passion for growing the game. But a lot of my passion is in growing the women who are already out there and giving them the credit that they deserve. And Nick is really good at trying to bring more women into the game. And so I feel like that's where we're totally yin and yang. And so that's where my passion comes from, is watching these girls struggle. And I thought to myself, and it was a very hard decision for me to put the bag down. And I like spent countless phone calls with like Nick crying, like, I feel like I'm going to lose my identity. What do I do? Like, but we have this company, we can do more. And that's where I pulled the plug. And I thought, I can do more by not having to be a pro. What good is it for me if I'm just going to put my head down and grind for 8 hours a day when I could be using this energy to help someone else? Like, how can I make their lives easier as opposed to me training? Because I thought about it and I was like, as much as I can train, like, I'm not going to be number one. Like, my head is all over the place. I want to do way more things than what this is. And so that's kind of how it all came together.
So cool. I've had several interviews the past day, and I keep seeing this theme, and I don't know if it's just coincidence or not, but people finding themselves in this place where they're just really discontent with what they thought they wanted to do and who they thought they wanted to be. And just kind of making that shift is so hard because so much identity is wrapped in it. But when you do, it's like you find this source of life and what you were, you know, created or called to do. It's really interesting. Where's your hub at? Where is your tribe? Where are you attracting these women?
So we are attracting basically our women through social media.
Okay.
And it just so happens to be where all the golf hubs are. That's our strongest audience, both men and women, which is California. A lot of SoCal, I think, is a bit stronger than NorCal, Arizona, Vegas, Florida. Those are like the main hubs, but there's kind of like a good spread a little everywhere. Instagram is our main platform. And then we obviously are going to try and build our email list and make our website a big platform because that's where we're going to deliver our online course. But Instagram is kind of the way that we are leading our marketing, essentially. Mm-hmm. On top of me and Nikki attending activations and actually going to all these events and speaking and teaching women and everything.
I think it's a really important piece to that influence bit is actually getting in front of people. So how are you guys getting these connections and getting into these events?
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of it was just from, this is a lot of what we've worked towards. Like, sir, we've been very fortunate to be invited and connected into the golf world. Mm-hmm. And so now it's kind of like all in good timing that now that we've created this company, we now have the connections and we also do get invited to quite a few events as well.
Now, let's imagine that we have a listener sitting in this little chat with us. And they are a few years behind you guys, and they're really passionate about their own industry, but they don't have the cred just yet to be able to spread their message the way that they want to. And they're having to do that grind thing of slowly building. If that person was sitting right here with us, what are some really tactical pieces of advice that you would give them to help them build their credibility and make the influence that they want to make?
Well, I'll just start real quick because I know Tisha's amazing with social
media. I want y'all to lay it on us. Like,
but firstly, I would say no matter what your following is, you can impact people. I would say, I know it's hard because I get in my head all the time and look at numbers, but don't worry about the likes and the comments and the whatever in the beginning. Really focus on connecting and engaging with your audience. Even if your audience is 50 people, you should be connecting and engaging with those 50 people. So I definitely think that, you know, first off, engage with your current audience and build that current audience. And then from there, it's really just a matter of honestly connecting again. So connect with people in your industry. That's what Tisha and I did. So when we went to that trip in Arizona in, you know, 2016, that's what really kind of catapulted this for us. So really connect with people, whether it's in your area or even if they might be millions of miles away, like connect with those people and really like build a tribe within your industry. And then after that, I mean, just be consistent.
What about you, Tisha? Lay it on us.
Yeah. I mean, Nick said it all in like a really good like lump sum, but I think one of the most important things is to be very clear with your message from the very start. Not to say that Nick and I knew exactly what we were doing in the beginning. Like we didn't know it all, but now that we know what we're doing, I think we now have a much stronger influence. Like we were just kind of like going with the flow, but if you're going to get into it now, I would say figure out what your message is and what your goal is and what you are trying to give to your viewers, whether it's just you want to just be entertainment, but if you want to influence and be educational, then figure out a means of doing that. Figure out a means of being different in that way, because understand that if you're walking into an industry, that you got to figure out a way to stand out in your own right.
That's good.
And that's hard. Like, but then again, that's where your own personality comes in. And if you're trying to walk into like golf industry, personality, I think, is huge. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why people follow Nick and I, especially because we're extremely authentic to really who we are. What you see is what you get. What you see on our profile is literally who you see when you see us in person. Mm-hmm. Like you might not get our height right, but besides that, you got everything else right.
Yeah.
I think another thing too that's really important is to, it's a lot to think about. I can really give all these really heavy details when it comes to social, but I think it's important to think about on top of your message, once you get your message down, think of your pillars. Think of exactly what you want to give to your audience, because it's so easy to stray away, or it's easy to fall into like the traps of like, okay, well, I'm pretty. Let me just keep on rolling with this. But that's not influence. Like that is not numbers, right? Like there is, I can't even like to be just as honest as it is, like between Nick and I, like we know we don't have the most followers in our world, not at all. But I truly believe that we get booked for these events because they see the value in us and they see that we have a lot more to offer than just trying to look good on camera. But we can talk, we can present, we can host, we can teach, we can do all these things and do it in a tasteful way. And I think that's very important that you stick true to your morals, you stay true to your message, you figure out your pillars. Like, people don't realize how much effort you actually put into the social media. And when I try and educate a lot of professionals on tour, and they're just like, I'm all in, I'm gonna do it. And then a week later, they're like, holy crap, this is hard. I cannot do this. Can I just hire you to do this? And I'm like, I can't even manage my own. Like, between Nick and I, we have a pillar of where we make sure we advertise our company. Mm-hmm. We have a pillar of building our own brand and making sure that people still see our own personality and like our own humor. We have our golf pillar. We have a fitness pillar. Like, Nick has her personal blog and her and her podcast. Like, I love to dance. That's another pillar. And like, people don't realize that all these things are ways for people to learn to love you. Like, the biggest thing is that you got to be relatable. And that's what you are as an influencer. You are relatable. You're speaking as if you're just speaking to a person right in front of you. And like, never ever as an influencer do you start becoming a person where you can't be that anymore. Yeah. Like, then you're not someone worth following, in my opinion.
That's good. Right?
Yeah, that would be my biggest advice. Like, you know, get your message together, figure out your strategy and your way of delivering to the audience, and build your pillars and just go from there. Yeah.
That's so good. Now, I know we're at our time, but if you wouldn't mind me asking you another question about... Yeah. Please. About what you just said about messaging. I hear this so much, and I've dealt with it too myself, where when you're a visionary, when you're someone that wants to make a huge impact in this world, the blessing of that is you want to make an impact. The curse of that is you have a million ideas. You have a lot of ambition. You're just like, oh, and then I might start a television show. And then what?
You have no idea.
And so, no, I do. Like, and like I said, it's such a beautiful, incredible thing, but also it's so crippling too, because with the vision and the excitement and the passion comes confusion. And when you get your message watered down, and it's so hard, you know, everybody says pick a lane, you know, get defined and everything, but when you're a visionary, how do you do that? How do you do that effectively where you have to silence sometimes these other things in your heart that are calling you in order to make something happen? Can you please speak to this?
Heather, you are seriously preaching to the choir.
I think literally
that you're asking us this question right now, because literally this morning and even yesterday, I was on the phone with my friend Raquel, who Tisha knows, and I was just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. What's my purpose? Like, I don't, you know, I'm just, and it's so funny, but that's the thing that comes with being a visionary.
That's
and being
real.
A entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I mean, you will go through slumps. You'll go through days, even multiple days at a time, where you're going to be like, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm doing. But the thing is, you just have to keep going. And I think that for me, like, I have my goals right here, you know, on the wall in front of me. And I'm like, you know what? I wrote down those goals. Like, I need to at least try to go for those goals right now. And yes, I could do 3 million other different things, but like, I need to focus on what I have set out to do. And it's hard because it's like so you hard. Said, you know, Tish and I, we're creative people. We're just naturally creative people. So we're like, oh, I could do this really well. And I could do this. And I could, you know, but at the end of the day, you just have to figure out like one path, like one goal, and what do you have to do to get to that one goal? And then maybe from there you figure something else out. And that's not to say you can't have multiple streams of income with that one goal. You can, but you know, just figure out like what lights you up the most out of everything, because I think it's hard for me. Like, I'm totally a person where I'm interested in 3 million different things. I think I can do 3 million different things, which I have. I honestly have had so many different jobs and I've done so many different things just because I'm like, you know what? I know I can do it. I'm going to go do it. But you, at the end of the day, you just have to, create that one goal and do everything you can to get there. And then maybe if it doesn't work out, maybe then you choose a different path.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, literally. I mean, Nick said it best, and it's so difficult. Like, that was kind of like how I feel like me and Nick even connected in the beginning, because we were like, what if we do this and this. Oh my gosh, what if we do this? Oh my God, you're me. Like, we were just like hype on life. Like, together we were like, nah, 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 nah. And so now we have it down a lot better, where there are times when I'll go on a rant and I'm like, what if we do this and this, and we could do this, and we could have this, and we could do this. And Nick is like, okay, like, we can do that, but you need to do this step, and then this step, and then this step. And then Nick will go on a rant and I'm like, okay, come, like, we'll go through this step and this step and this step. And like, don't get us wrong, like, especially now that we're starting a new company, we are still like that. There are so many things we want to attack. There's so many different things we want to do. We technically haven't even really nailed down one huge part yet. That's why we're hoping that the online course will really be one. But again, just what Nick said, you have to figure out what you think is going to be the most impactful, that really lights you up the most.
Yeah.
Attack that at a time, and then start moving on once you do feel like you've accomplished that, or that can start kind of writing itself, and kind of go with that. And I think it's really important too, to have someone to hold you accountable. Like, if I didn't have Nick, then I would never get anything done, because I think I can do everything at once. And I think Nick the same, like, we do a good job of being a team in that way.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Where can people connect with you guys online? And then you're going to have a course coming out this year. So just tell us where you're at on Instagram and where people can connect with this course.
So my Instagram is at Nikki B Golf. It's NIKKIB Golf. That's where you'll find me. And then Tisha is at Tisha Allen. It's TishaAllyn.
Yes. Correct.
You can find both of us on For Her Sports, and that's F-O-R-E, Her Sports. And we're really excited because we are in the process of building our online course. We don't have a firm launch date of that yet, but we're excited to announce it. It'll be definitely within the next couple months. It'll be before springtime, hopefully. So we're shooting for maybe a February, maybe March launch if we have to, but we're excited for that. So you can connect with us, go onto our website, which is forhersports.com, and you know, sign up for our email list so you're notified when we launch the course. We're super excited, but it's really for anyone who maybe like kind of knows how to golf, has been out a couple times, who's never picked up a golf club before, but it's going to be a beginner course for women, and we're really, really excited about it.
That's super cool. Now, before our last question, what is, you said four is a golfing term, and I'm not a golfer, I'll admit it. What is that term? Like, what does it mean in golfing world?
Yeah. So four is a term, I forgot what the actual, it's short for an actual long word. Do you know that? Did you know that, Nick?
Y'all can make one up and I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, four is actually short for a longer word that it basically, it's what you say when you're warning someone that you're about to hit them.
Yeah. So basically, like, you know, in baseball, when you say heads up, like, it's the same thing. So if a ball is going at someone, you're supposed to yell four so they know and they can duck. So it doesn't
duck.
That's cool. I love that. That's super cool. That's super cool.
So maybe we're yelling like four, watch out, cause we're coming. We're going to dominate the golf industry.
There you go.
I love that. I love that. All right. Last question. If let's say you were to go back a few years ago before you took the leap and started your own business, and you were going to speak to Nikki and Tisha a few years ago before you even started this, and you were to sit down and have just a short little conversation with those girls a couple of years ago, what would be a couple of pieces of advice you'd give them then?
I would tell us that one, this is not an easy road, like, as and that you're going to need each other, and you're going to have to survive off each other's like energy to keep this going and to always stay true and rooted to what your goal is. I think that's the most important thing, and that I would tell us back then that we'll get there. Just be patient.
I love that. And along with that, I would say, I literally just posted this on my Instagram. I think Forbes posted it. But it's from Ricky Gervais, and it says, the greatest bit of advice I ever received was, no one else knows what they're doing either. And so true.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I just think I would tell myself, like, you don't have to have it all figured out, you know. And here's the thing. Yes, it seems like we're running out of time, but at the same time, we have so many years ahead of us. So if this doesn't work out, we'll be okay. We can do something else. But I would just say, like I said before, like, figure out what your purpose and passion is, write down a goal, and figure out what you have to do to get there. And know that, like, you don't have to have it all figured out. You will learn along the way, because everyone else that looks like they have it all figured out definitely does not.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in unconventional leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.